Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya. And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday in Holy Week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As you just heard at the top of the hour in the news from Glenn, we will discuss much more about the tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore here in a moment. I want to remind you that you can complete your Lenten journey with Close to Jesus to the Last, a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before his passion. With Father Rocky's guidance, we'll pause for an hour at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central each day on Relevant Radio to ponder the events that culminate at Calvary, exploring each with a specially selected music and prayers today through Good Friday. You'll find a guide to all of our special Holy Week programming at relevantradio.com/holy-week. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah this morning with a heavy heart. Glenn, what is the latest with this horrible bridge collapse situation in Baltimore?
Well, folks might get the opportunity at some point today to see some dramatic security camera video. Some footage of the Francis Scott Key Bridge over the Patapsco River in Baltimore collapsing after being hit by a container ship. It appeared to hit it on one of the piers, and it seemed to collapse in very rapid fashion. Right now, the search is ongoing in the water for at least seven people, possibly more, that are in the water. The very, very cool 47 to 49 degree water this morning as well. Very hard to keep going for long in water that is that cool. Again, just an amazing situation right now outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable situation, and just a few minutes ago, the mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, and the chief of the fire department, James Wallace, and a few other state leaders talked to the media about this just horrible disaster at the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. Here's part of the press conference.
At about 0150 hours, our first unit arrived on scene and reported a complete collapse of the Key Bridge. We were also given information at that time that there were likely multiple people on the bridge at the time of the collapse, and that as a result, multiple people were in the water. We were able to remove two people from the water. One individual was not injured. However, there was another individual that's been transported to a local trauma center that is in very serious condition. We are still very much in an active search and rescue posture at this point, and we will continue to be for some time. We believe at this point we may be looking for upwards of seven individuals. That's the latest information we have is as of right now.
Everyone, this is an unthinkable tragedy. We have to first and foremost, pray for all of those who are impacted, those families. Pray for our first responders and thank them, all of them working together to make sure that we are working through this tragedy. We have to try to find and save. This is what our focus should be on right now. We're going to continue to work in partnership with every part of government to do everything that we can to get us through the other side of this tragedy.
Glenn, and that's what we absolutely need to do, is to pray for all of the families involved in this horrific tragedy, all the first responders that are searching for survivors still. The only word that comes to mind is just unthinkable. This is so unbelievable that something like this could happen. I saw the images, obviously, the video of the bridge collapsing. It looks like something out of a movie.
Yeah, it absolutely does. So again, there'll be many opportunities, I'm sure, for folks to see those images. But an interstate bridge carries I-695 in the Baltimore area. Again, struck by a container ship and looks like it collapsed in very rapid order there. And so brand new story, search and rescue underway. No real details yet on, any particular fatalities, injuries, et cetera. But you know that is the case as far as injuries. And not an easy search and rescue situation either.
Yeah. Can you just even begin to imagine what it was like for those people on that bridge? I understood that there were a number of workers who were pouring cement at the time of the accident, who were a part of the people that that fell into the water. So just a horrible situation. Obviously, it has captured the attention of our nation. Everybody is watching the images now that the sun has come up there in the Baltimore area. And obviously, we continue to pray for everybody involved, especially the families of those who have perished.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was living and working in the Twin Cities back in the early part of the 2000s when the interstate bridge over I-35W over Minneapolis collapsed. It had driven on it earlier that day, as a matter of fact, and 13 people had perished there, and I believe 100 or so injured in just dramatic fashion. That bridge just kind of fell on its own during construction or reconstruction, as it were. They figured some of the rivets and the gusset plates were not as thick as they should be, the kind of metal plates that hold the different parts together, that are riveted together. And yeah, you don't expect an interstate bridge to collapse. You know, they're built to last, you know, maybe 100 years or more. Every once in a while, tragedy strikes.
Do we know anything about this ship? I had heard a report that the ship may have lost power. That's why it wasn't able to steer away from hitting the columns of the bridge. Have you heard anything as of the latest, Glenn?
Well, it was a container ship called Dolly, and headed from Baltimore to Baltimore from or actually headed from Baltimore to Colombo, Sri Lanka, as its final destination. So it had kind of just been leaving. It was flying a Singapore flag, and don't have any word offhand here as far as what the exact cause was at this point.
Well, we continue to pray. The governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, has declared a state of emergency. This clearly, obviously, affects people that normally travel across that bridge. It also affects all the water travel that, from what I understand, it's a very, very busy area.
Oh, yeah, the Port of Baltimore, very busy port, and this kind of leads to that area. So, yeah, multiple levels of difficulty this morning for sure.
Meanwhile, the other story that we're keeping an eye on is the Supreme Court, which will take up the Mifepristone case. What is the latest on that, Glenn?
Yeah, the most common abortion drug, as we find maybe upwards of 60% of abortions are done chemically or by pill. These days, and mifepristone is the most commonly used drug there. The Supreme Court taking a look, hearing oral arguments today over FDA approval, whether that was too hasty back in the day, and a decision not expected till the end of the Supreme Court session in June, but that will go today as far as the oral arguments.
And I understand that there's protests in different parts of the country from pro-life people on this day, sending a message that they don't feel that these abortion pills are safe or good for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in addition, of course, to being deadly for the baby. But yeah, there are concerns that they just are not safe for the woman as well.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye and continue to monitor the situation with the tragedy in Baltimore. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Yeah, sure thing, John.
And of course, we start every morning, as we always do, in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, and that we pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. This morning, we pray in a special way for all the families and all the first responders and anyone who's involved in this horrible tragedy of the Baltimore bridge collapse. We also pray for a peace in our world, especially in the Middle East and in Ukraine, and peace in our nation, in our church, and in our families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on the show when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On Tuesdays, I always take a moment to remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel. Even though you can't see, these heavenly companions, our guardian angels, are present with us. So we should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Romans 8:18. The Apostle St. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. During this Holy Week, we can unite our sufferings and crosses with the big cross of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. St. Paul reminds us that even our greatest sufferings are far outweighed by the glory that awaits us in heaven. Though the afflictions of our time in this world are inescapable, the Holy Spirit helps us to make them bearable, and suffering is part of God's plan to help mold us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break. When we come back, author and professor of theology Annabelle Mosley will be with us to talk about celebrating Holy Thursday in your home and in your heart. So stay with us as this Tuesday of Holy Week edition of Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday of Holy Week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our email, if you want to reach us directly with any thoughts or story ideas, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. You can also find us on social media, on X, formerly Twitter. It's at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our toll-free line, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. That's 888-914-9149. Now, this Holy Week that we are observing culminates with the sacred Paschal Triduum, which begins on Holy Thursday. We'll remember at the Mass of the Lord's Supper the institution of the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist, two great gifts that our Lord Jesus Christ left us before his passion and glorious resurrection. Now, many of us will also spend time with our Lord in Eucharistic adoration afterwards, but did you know that once that when you go back home, you can still take that devotion with you and keep it going. Joining us live from New York City is Morning Air contributor Professor Annabelle Mosley to discuss how we can celebrate Holy Thursday in our homes and in our hearts. Annabelle Mosley is the author of three Catholic books, including Awake with Christ, Living the Catholic Holy Hour in Your Home. She's a professor of theology, Third Order Carmelite, a wife and a mother. Annabelle is also the founder of Catholic Holy Hour.com, where she's been hosting Thursdays in the Garden, a 7-week Lenten vigil with Jesus of Gethsemane. Good morning, Professor Annabelle. Thanks so much for joining us. It's so good to be with you on this Tuesday in Holy Week.
Oh, good morning, John. It's wonderful to be with you, too.
Professor, when it comes to Holy Thursday, of course, we remember this is the day that we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. But there's a lot more to Holy Thursday than just those two events. Can you share your take on it?
Oh, it's my joy to do that. You know, Holy Thursday is just such a sublime, magnificent, beautiful feast day. I love it so much. And I'm thrilled to come on and talk about it with you today. You know, one of the things that's so magnificent about it, you spoke of it so beautifully. You summed it up so well, John, you know, how we get these two gifts from our Lord, the Eucharist, the priesthood, both instituted on Holy Thursday. And then there's something else, right? After our Lord leaves the upper room, leaves the Last Supper, singing a hymn, out he goes to Gethsemane and to his agony. And it really is an invitation to each of us to spend that time watching and praying with him. And whatever we're going through that's, you know, difficult in the world right now, whatever we're going through in our lives, we bring that to Gethsemane with our Lord. And there is a way, just as you mentioned, to bring this devotion home with us. In fact, we're called to. It was a specific request of our Lord, not only in Scripture, where he asks us to watch and pray, but also that wonderful devotion to the Sacred Heart given by Saint Margaret Mary in the 17th century. And she's so famous, right? She's given the church, Jesus has given through her the first Friday devotions and many of the Sacred Heart devotions. Well, that's not all she gave. Our Lord also asked Saint Margaret Mary to remember Gethsemane in a special way on Thursday nights. This was the actual quote. He said to her, "Here in Gethsemane, I suffered inwardly more than in the rest of my passion because I was totally alone, abandoned by heaven and earth, burdened with the sins of mankind. So in order for you to be united with me in the humble prayer I presented to my Father, you will arise and watch for 1 hour with me." So yes, as you said, we're called to adore Christ at church, but at some point we have to return home. And our Lord himself asked us to arise in our own homes and keep watch spiritually in Gethsemane.
And this is a beautiful devotion given to us by our Lord to St. Margaret Mary. And, you know, you mentioned about, watching an hour with Jesus. And in fact, the Lord himself in Matthew 26:40 says, "Could you not watch 1 hour with me?" That's all he's asking, is for us to spend time with him, whether it's right after the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper or extending it back at home in private.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He calls us, you know, the hour he originally requested for Margaret Mary to watch with him was from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. And that's something that's extended to all of us, that we're all asked on Thursday nights. That's the day of the week and the time that he was in Gethsemane, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Well, most of us are not in a church. We can't be from 11 to 12. You know, we're not living in a rectory. We're not living in a church. So it's just confirmation that our Lord calls us to do this, to keep this Thursday night hour of prayer in a special way in our domestic church. So the call from Gethsemane to watch and pray really is a Eucharistic one. I love to talk about, I write about this a lot in my books, the importance of Eucharistic adoration, of going to church to watch and pray with our Eucharistic Lord. But the wonderful good news is that it doesn't and it shouldn't end when we leave that church, that we can still unite our hearts to our Eucharistic Lord in our domestic church, right at home, by spiritually placing ourselves in Gethsemane, just as he asked us to do. And we don't need to worry, like if we can't be awake from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m., there's so many reasons why we might not be able to do that. Any hour we can give, you know, our Lord is beyond time and space. He doesn't have office hours. You know, he's open all the time and waiting. So whatever hour we can give in our own home, once we leave church, it's such a wonderful way to bring that Eucharistic love back with us. And in just a wonderful way, as we prepare for Holy Thursday, to think about the joy of consoling him. You know, here we are in that hour, that last hour in Gethsemane, you know, it ended in the betraying kiss of Judas. It ended in his arrest and his passion. So if we can give that hour of loving him, it's so beautiful to spend that time consoling him. And our Lord really will accept any hour we set aside for him with love.
I would imagine there are special graces that one receives, whether you pray after Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, actually in church, or in private at home, spending that time. I think to do it at home shows perhaps maybe even a greater heart and desire to spend time with the Lord during that 11 p.m. hour.
Oh, absolutely, John. That's why we founded CatholicHolyHour.com. We're trying to bring back awareness. This is a long-time devotion in the church that, you know, there's so many beautiful devotions, but it kind of got forgotten over the years. It's been called the At-Home Holy Hour, and it was recommended by Padre Pio, Fulton Sheen, some of the real heavyweights, but it did get forgotten. I'll tell you, I am so passionate about this because you're exactly right. If you love our Eucharistic Lord, we need to bring that devotion into our domestic churches. We have to be there at church for him. We have to go to adoration as often as possible. But when we're in our home, we can bring those graces and set aside time for him in our own homes to spiritually watch and pray with him in Gethsemane. And you know, this Holy Thursday is really the perfect time to kick off this zealous devotion to our Lord in Gethsemane. I mean, after all, our Lord asked for this special time on Thursdays. We can do it every Thursday. But what better time to begin than Holy Thursday? Let this be the year that we make each of our homes and hearts, you know, his altar of repose.
And you even have some suggestions for making our homes literally a domestic church with setting up a special altar.
Absolutely. So in anticipation for Holy Thursday night, I recommend, you know, you can send up an altar. You can set up an altar honoring our Lord right in your own home. That way, when you pray your at-home holy hour or you just reserve your time for your rosary or whatever devotions you do with your family, you'll feel even more deeply that you've prepared a space lovingly dedicated to watch and pray with Jesus. The church will, you know, prepare an altar of repose. They'll put flowers out on Holy Thursday for our Lord. What can we do at home? Well, you know, let's find a space we can set up an altar. And I recommend, you know, placing a white or a purple cloth, a beautiful table runner, some lace, something that adorns the altar. Then prominently featuring an image of our Lord. Great choices are either a picture or statue of our Lord in Gethsemane, or a picture or statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Did you know that actually, Gethsemane is known as the Passion of the Sacred Heart? So if we have any love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I believe so many of our listeners do, that's a great choice for an image. And then to make the altar feel more like an altar of repose, we can adorn it with fresh flowers. It's a beautiful time. Easter's coming. A lot of times we pick up flowers for loved ones. Let's get some flowers for our Lord and place it on our at-home altar. And that can represent the Garden of Gethsemane. We can get some candles ready. Other sacramentals, get our favorite rosary, a bottle of holy water, and just have this altar all set up. So if you can make it to church Holy Thursday night, you come home, you bring that love of our Eucharistic Lord in Gethsemane and keep it going. And if you're infirm or you can't make it to church on Thursday, you know, you're home, then do this. It's so beautiful. And you will have carved out time to console our Lord in his agony in the garden and really join your heart to his there.
And the goal of having this beautiful altar and having the proper setting is to be able to spend some quiet time in prayer alone with our Lord. Any suggestions on how to actually pray during this holy hour? It seems to me like there's many, many different options of ways to go.
Absolutely, John. Yes, that's why we founded CatholicHolyHour.com. So you can go to CatholicHolyHour.com right now and you'll receive a free guided holy hour for Holy Thursday that you can pray right in your own home. When you sign up, you can also sign up for the First Thursday of the Month Club, and you can receive every first Thursday of the month these guided holy hours for your month. They're always new and inspiring, and ways, they basically give you guided ways to set aside time to lavish our Lord with love right at home and get those graces. It's gonna spill over into your family life, whether you live alone and you're struggling with loneliness or just getting through the day in a holy way, or whether you have a family and you're trying to keep everybody balanced in a spirit of love together. this holy hour really brings those graces. It's bringing it right into your domestic church, watching and praying in the very place where you live. And whatever you're going through right now, you can offer it up to him in Gethsemane. The prayers at CatholicHolyHour.com that you'll receive are beautiful, and it takes all the guesswork out. It'll guide you through it with stunning prayers. There's even beautiful artwork and holy, inspiring music, if you would like. It has everything you'll need. So that's really the mission of CatholicHolyHour.com. And we have everything you'll need right there to watch and pray with our Lord in your own home and give him that special time full of graces.
Professor Annabelle, it would seem to me that praying the rosary during that holy hour would be a beautiful thing to do. Normally on Thursday evenings or Thursdays, you pray the luminous mysteries. But on this holy Thursday, maybe we want to meditate on the first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden, which really, especially if we pray the scriptural rosary, it can really make it come to life. So you really enter into the scene of what our Lord was suffering during that agony in the garden.
You're making such a beautiful connection, John. We often, almost always recommend the rosary as part of it. We offer guides. The luminous mysteries of the rosary, you know, offered on Thursdays really do point to Gethsemane, you know, don't they? Because we conclude that fifth mystery is the institution of the Eucharist. And right from the institution of the Eucharist in the upper room is where our Lord sings that hymn and walks bravely to Gethsemane with his apostles for the agony. So they are so related. And I would agree that it would be beautiful this Holy Thursday, of this Thursday of Holy Week to dwell with the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. We have that and more. We have guides that are just so beautiful. And I love what you said at the beginning of the set about remembering to pray to our guardian angel, John, on Tuesdays. What a great day to talk about this devotion. We recall that Jesus was comforted by an angel in Gethsemane. And did you know that Padre Pio actually taught that when we do this at-home holy hour, we can add to the comfort that the angel brought our Lord in the garden? Because he's outside of time and space, he's beyond time and space, and his angel there will bring us the comfort we give him this week. We'll bring him right to the garden and send our love to our Lord there. It's so beautiful.
And we don't want to be like the apostles who were sleepyheads. We want to stay awake and spend that one special hour with our Lord on Holy Thursday.
It's such a gift. It's a gift to ourselves. You know, as we're consoling our Lord, he's never outdone in generosity, and he consoles us back. It's so beautiful.
Once again, one last time, if our listeners want to plug in to the great work that you're doing with Catholic Holy Hour, what should they do?
Please go to CatholicHolyHour.com and sign up for the Thursdays in the Garden. The link, it will bring you right to a free guided Holy Hour at home for Holy Thursday.
Professor Annabelle, as always, thank you so much. Really appreciate you being with us, and a great, great reminder for all of us to begin the Paschal Triduum this Holy Thursday. Thanks again.
Thank you, John.
Professor Annabelle Mosley, the founder of CatholicHolyHour.com. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Brendan Gatta, the content creator for Trinity Road and the founder of Gotta Be Saints Apostolate, will be with us to discuss how to enter into the Triduum and make Holy Week truly holy. Stay with us. There is much more to come as this Tuesday and Holy Week edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
One foot in front of the other. One foot in front of the other.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday in Holy Week across much of our nation. Listening to us this morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. 1-800-273-8149. As I'm sure you know by now, Holy Week is the holiest week of the year for Catholics and other Christians. It's been called the week that changed the world, culminating with the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. Joining us live this morning from North Carolina is Brendan Gatta to talk about how to enter into the Paschal Triduum and how to make Holy Week truly holy. Brendan is the content creator for Trinity Road and the founder of the Gotta Be Saints Apostolate. Brendan and his wife Meredith live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Brendan. Thanks so much for joining us. It's really good to be with you once again on this Tuesday in Holy Week.
Well, thank you, John, for having me.
Well, this is a very special week. Holy Week is considered the holiest week of the year for Catholics and, in fact, for other Christians as well. What is your number one suggestion on how to make this week different, how to make it truly holy?
Yeah, I love that you're hitting in on the reality that it is the holiest of weeks. I think our church sometimes, if you're not aware of the origins of the word, some of our seasons, it's hard to know what they really mean. You look at Lent, you look at Advent. You can look up what those words mean. You can figure out, okay, Lent, it's coming from the English word lengthen. And then with, Advent, it's arrival, Latin. But with Holy Week, it's pretty straightforward. It's telling you this is a week that is holy and that we need to be a part of. So when it comes to a suggestion on how to make this week truly holy, I would invite anyone who's listening to really enter in. I think that this time of year, it is busy. People have a lot of things going on. Spring breaks are taking place, and it's really easy to lose focus. It's easy to almost forget about the importance of this week. But if we look at it from a faith perspective, this is so important to our journey with our Lord. And our Lord is, on his way to the cross. And so I think we need to enter in. And what does that look like? I think especially it means participating in the liturgies, if at all possible. These are such beautiful liturgies, and so many Catholics have never been to a Holy Thursday Mass. So many Catholics have never been to a Good Friday service. And even more so, so many Catholics have never been to the Easter Vigil. And yet these liturgies are so beautiful, so important, and have the ability to transform our lives.
Well, let's go through Holy Week. Let's take a look at these important days, beginning with the Triduum. Can you provide some suggestions on how we can best enter Holy Thursday and the Mass of the Lord's Supper?
Yeah, so Holy Thursday is probably my favorite day in the whole church calendar. One, of course, that yes, we're entering into the Triduum, and there is the sacrifice that is coming. There is the time that our Lord is in the garden. It is a sorrowful time. And yet, on the front end, we are celebrating the institution of the Eucharist in the priesthood. And for those of us, who are really trying to grow in our faith, I think it is impossible to do so without the Eucharist at the forefront of that growth. And so it is a celebration. I oftentimes find myself on Holy Thursday really, celebrating that joyful fact. And of course, each person can celebrate in a different way, but you can offer a rosary in gratitude for the priests in your lives. You can offer a rosary in for the joy of the Eucharist. But you can also celebrate in other ways. A lot of people will do a meal together on Thursday. And of course, then there's the other aspects of it, which is attending the liturgy. I invite people to go and participate in the liturgy. And in many places, they'll be doing the feet washing, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing to see if you've never been to that Mass. It is so wonderful to see just that act of service. And of course, it's an example that our Lord gave to us. If you're not able to attend the liturgy, I invite you to just read the readings, reflect on these readings, take the time, to let the Word of God enter your life. If you have children especially, this is an opportunity to teach them what took place on this day. I think so many kids don't really have an understanding of the Triduum because nobody teaches them. And that's a shame because it can really transform your life. So those are some of the suggestions. And then one other thing that I invite people to do is following the liturgy. Let us journey with our Lord in a real way. So let's put ourselves in that place and let's put ourselves in the garden. I think that many people start their fasting on Good Friday, and it's Good Friday alone because that's kind of what the church states. But I do think it is a really good thing to really start your fasting after the liturgy on Holy Thursday. Our Lord is in the garden, and this is when we have an opportunity to kind of be there with him. And so that involves, you know, the suffering of not eating for a couple extra hours than maybe you're used to. So maybe quit the late night snacks on Holy Thursday if possible.
What about the tradition of staying after the Mass of the Lord's Supper and spending some time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, which is reposed after Mass on Holy Thursday, and you know, making a holy hour and really, really meditating on what is about to take place?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is such a beautiful thing, and I know that the church that I went to last year, you know, it was beautiful. They had such a wonderful setup, and there were so many people who came and prayed, and it's just so good to sit there. I know I was listening to the show a little bit earlier, John, and you had mentioned, you know, just that the apostles got sleepy. And I understand that it's very possible for a lot of us. We get in there and it's late, it's 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock, and we're tired. And yet our Lord's inviting us. Can you not just stay awake for 1 hour? And there's real value, especially if it's difficult. If it's hard for you to be there, then all the more you should stay. Of course, this differs for people with kids. And I understand that that's a little bit more challenging. But if you're able to find time to pray there, or if you're married, maybe you and your spouse work it out that one of you can go for a half hour. And usually the churches will keep the doors open till at least midnight. So you could always, one of you could go and then the other could come back later if you live close enough to church. But yeah, I think that's definitely a part of the Holy Thursday that you should enter into.
And in some cities and some parishes, there's that tradition of visiting seven churches after Holy Thursday. I know here in the Chicago area, it's a big deal. And I mean, they have buses and buses of people who go on these pilgrimages to visit the different churches. And it's an opportunity to spend a few moments in front of our Lord in each church. And that's something that's also done in some of the Latin American countries. I believe it's done in Rome. It's a wonderful tradition, Brendan.
Yeah, I think if I'm right, it was founded in Rome, and it's kind of expanded to other places, and it is a beautiful tradition. I haven't done it in a few years, but I do remember the last time I did it. It's really beautiful. You get a chance to kind of drive your car, or if you're fortunate enough, you know, walk to all these different churches and get to pray outside of them, and or go inside if they're open. And it is really cool to just be able to do that pilgrimage, you know, on that day.
For sure. I haven't done it the last few years hosting Morning Air because I get up at 3:45 in the morning, so I just make sure I get to the Mass of the Lord's Supper and then go right to bed. But for many, many years, it was a family tradition. I want to open up our phone lines and invite our listeners, if you want to share some of your traditions that you celebrate during Holy Week. Do you try to make Holy Week truly holy? Do you normally go to Holy Thursday and Good Friday services? We'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Brendan Gatta, the founder of Gotta Be Saints Apostolate, on our toll-free line, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. All right, let's talk about Good Friday. How can we make Good Friday truly
a holy day.
Okay, this is the culmination of 3 years of ministry from our Lord, and much more than that. If you think about, you know, that from really the beginning of time, or from, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, this moment, this day, was in the mind of our Lord and in the mind of God as He prepared to make this sacrifice for us. And so it is essential that we be thinking about what sacrifice is being made and has been made for us. I think for many people, they have to work on Good Friday. And I'm a big fan of, if possible, having people take that day off, if you know, or at least in the afternoon. I know that's not possible for everyone, but it is just such a holy day that I believe we should be in prayer. We really reflecting on what is taking place, what our Lord is doing. And of course, another thing to do on this day is to go to the liturgy. If you've never been to the Good Friday liturgy, it is beautiful. It is, in some places they'll sing the gospel reading and it's beautiful, but then there's also the cross the veneration of the cross. You get a chance to sometimes kiss the cross or at least genuflect near it. It is just an incredible, incredible liturgy. Some places will also incorporate the Divine Mercy Chaplet into the day because the novena for Divine Mercy starts on Good Friday. So there's really a lot going on. But I think that the pieces to really reflect on or to look at or to consider are as such. One, the liturgy itself. And then two, the fasting. I think our church invites us to fast 2 days of the year. You know, they invite us to abstain from meat on Fridays. But to actually fast, it's just 2 days a year. So I invite anyone who's looking or not looking forward to Good Friday to really make this day a prayer, to offer up your suffering or to offer up the fasting and give it over to the Lord. I was talking to a buddy not too long ago, and he was talking to me about Exodus 90 and all the different ways that it invites people to sacrifice and especially within the food. And he looked at me and he said, basically in America, we are signing up for what so many countries just do every single day for their for their daily life. The eating of, you know, rice and beans might be the only meal they consume. It's not to say that we don't have a lot here or that we shouldn't be grateful and it's okay that we have what we have, but just a reality that we don't know suffering in the ways that so many other people in the world know. And so with this fasting on Good Friday, I think it's a real invitation to kind of stretch ourselves. If you're in a bad mood on Good Friday, that might be okay if it's, you know, because you're hungry and you're a little grumpy. Don't take it out on people, but it's okay for that. And I invite you to stretch yourself in that way. And so I think those are kind of the key pieces that I would say. You know, I invite you to go to the liturgy. I invite you to do stations if your parish is doing it. Really just enter in. And of course, with all that being said, make sure that you are, making it a prayer.
Jenny is joining us this morning from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jenny. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Brendan Gatta.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just, I was listening as you guys were speaking, and I feel that in so many years past, like, I've always really tried to focus on my own spiritual journey and, you know, like, how I can grow closer to Jesus and closer to our Lord. And but this year, I feel like He's really, calling me out into the community to really imitate Him. And so I just wanted to share something that I felt Him kind of speaking to my heart today. And that's, like, on Holy Thursday, not just to reflect on His washing of the disciples' feet, but also how can I go out and maybe do an act of mercy to somebody else on Holy Thursday, whether it's making a meal for an elderly person or just really, like, serving my brothers and sisters in need, to not only, like, meditate on Jesus' life, but also to live it too. Because that's ultimately, I feel like, what we're called to do in our faith is to first encounter Christ and then go out and to do what He did So I feel like that might be a good activity for like families. I've never done it really before myself, but I'm thinking of just what I can do also. And then like on Good Friday, not only to reflect on how Jesus died on the cross for us, like the greatest act of love, but what act of love can I do?
Thanks, Jenny. I really appreciate it. Brendan, one final quick thought.
Yeah, I'd say as we look at these couple days, just remember that our Lord's sacrifice, and then of course be willing to suffer well with him. And I think the Triduum can become a beautiful time for you.
Brendan, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your insights.
Thank you, John.
Thanks so much.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you too. Brendan Gatta, the founder of Gotta Be Saints Apostle. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Continuing our series of Holy Week stories today, our story called Still He Walked. He could hear the crowd screaming, "Crucify, crucify." He could hear the hatred in their voices. These were his chosen people. He loved them, and they were going to crucify him. He was beaten, bleeding and weakened. His heart was broken, but still he walked. He could see the crowd as he came from the palace. He knew each of the faces so well he had created them. He knew every smile, laugh, and shed tear, but now they were contorted with rage and anger. His heart broke, but still he walked. Was he scared? You and I would have been. So his humanness would have mandated that he was. He felt alone. His disciples had left, denied, even betrayed him. He searched the crowd for a loving face, and he saw very few. Then he turned his eyes to the only one that mattered, and he knew that he would never be alone. He looked back at the crowd, at the people who were spitting at him, throwing rocks at him, and mocking him, and he knew that because of him, they would never be alone. So for them, he walked. The sounds of the hammer striking the spikes echoed through the crowds. The sounds of his cries echoed even louder. The cheers of the crowd as his hands and feet were nailed to the cross intensified with each blow. Loudest of all was the still small voice inside his heart that whispered, "I am with you, my son." And God's heart broke. He had let his son walk. Jesus could have asked God to end his suffering, but instead he asked God to forgive. Not to forgive him, but to forgive the ones who were persecuting him. As he hung on that cross, dying an unimaginable death, he looked out and saw not only the faces in the crowd, but also the face of every person yet to be, and his heart filled with love. As his body was dying, his heart was alive, alive with the limitless, unconditional love he feels for each of us. That's why he walked. When I forget how much my God loves me, I remember his walk. When I wonder if I can be forgiven, I remember his walk. When I need reminding of how to live like Christ, I think of his walk. And to show him how much I love him, I wake up each morning, turn my eyes to him, and I walk. From Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will share her reflection on the seven last words of Christ. Plus, our resident Catholic apologist William Albrecht will join us to discuss the prophecies of the crucifixion and the suffering Messiah. So stay with us on this Tuesday of Holy Week edition of Morning Air. There's a lot more to come in the final hour of the show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.